Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
So, a couple of weeks ago, we received a letter in the mail regarding the new youth and children's building, and the letter was written to us by Melinda Lord, the niece of Jerry Caperton. So, for those of you that are newer with us, the lot where we are building the new youth and children's building used to be owned by the Caperton family. In fact, they had a house that sat on that lot. And so for Melinda Lord, there are many memories that are associated with that lot. And so I want to take just a moment right now to read to you the letter that she wrote to us. She said, "Dear Stockdale Baptist Church family, last month during my visit to the church with Aunt Jerry, it came to my attention that plans to build a youth center were underway and on the property where my family home once stood. This is very exciting. My earliest memories are of the white stucco house that seemed to always be filled with friends of Granny Laverne's, my aunts and uncles, and later, friends of my own. My mother, Jane, used to refer to it as the Grand Central Station of Stockdale. I believe it's only fitting that a house that was once full of visiting friends and family be replaced with a building that will one day soon be full of friends who gather together to learn of Christ's love and are eager to go out into the world and share that love. Nothing could give me greater joy than to advance the work of God in the place I have always called home." I love what she said right there at the end. Nothing could give me greater joy than to advance the work of God. I love that because it really does remind us of a truth that we see in Scripture, that there is joy in advancing the work of God. Amen. There's joy in advancing the work of God. You know, for the last 2 years since coming as your pastor, I would describe the spirit of this church as one of joy. Now, that's not to say that there wasn't joy before I came as your pastor, but this is just my observation in being here, and as we have seen the Lord move together for the last 2 years, there's just been such great joy here. And for me personally, this goes all the way back to the Sunday that you called me to be your pastor. On that Sunday, there was this sense of joy as you called me unanimously to come and to lead this church, to advance the work of God in this church and in this community. You know, this coming Thursday is actually Palmer's one-year anniversary from his hire date. And again, there was this sense of great joy when we called him to come alongside of us, to work with us, to begin advancing the work of God, to lead the youth to advance the work of God in this church and in this community. As we've seen our children's choir grow, as we've seen the youth ministry grow, as we've seen children's church grow, as we've seen Vacation Bible School grow, as we've seen our morning worship services grow, once again, there is great joy in advancing the work of God. When we saw the need to build the new youth and children's building, once again, there's this spirit of great joy, even in the financial sacrifices that we are making to see this building built. There's joy in that because there's joy in advancing the work of God. You know, as we've continued to advance the work of God here at First Baptist Stockdale, and as we have continued to grow, then I, as your pastor, I recognize that there are things that we must do if we are going to continue to grow. There are steps that we need to take that will help us to continue to make room for more growth, to continue to make room for more young families, to continue to make room for more children to come, for more of our friends, for more of our family members, for more of our coworkers to come and hear the gospel. And so part of that is what I talked about earlier this morning in the welcome, is that move to two church services on Sunday morning. And so I would invite you to see this move to two services once again as advancing the work of God. And in many ways, it opens up more opportunities for us to get involved in the work of God because it allows for us to, it allows for more people to get involved in serving. So you might look at it this way. I can serve in one service and attend another service. You know, maybe you serve in the prayer room in the early service, and then you attend the second service, or vice versa. Or you serve on the safety team in the second service, and you attend the first service, or vice versa, right? I think many times as we think about serving in some capacities on Sunday mornings, we think, well, I don't want to serve in that way because I might miss out on the worship service. Well, what this does is it opens up the opportunity in many ways to say, I want to serve, but I also want to attend. And so you can serve in one service and attend another. And so this opens up the door for us to continue to advance the work of God. And so I would invite you once again to join me in seeing this move to two services as advancing the work of God, that we might experience great joy in it, because there is joy in advancing the work of God. So this morning, as we're wrapping up our series, we're going to wrap up this series in the book of Haggai titled, Think Carefully About Your Ways. And what we've seen in the book of Haggai is God calling his people through the book of or through the prophet Haggai to advance and prioritize not their own kingdoms, but his kingdom. If you remember, after beginning the work of the Lord in 536 BC by laying the foundation for the second temple, after they laid that foundation and had this big celebration, the work of God stopped. They stopped building. 2 years passed, and the temple, all of that work had stopped in that 2 years. And then 14 more years passed till we get to 520 BC. And over that 14-year period, that temple just continued to sit there incomplete. And they began to, instead of advancing the work of God, in many ways, they simply began to advance their own priorities. They began to advance their own houses, prioritize their own houses. They began to prioritize their own desires. Simply put, they were prioritizing their own comfort. But prioritizing their own comfort didn't move things forward. Prioritizing their own comfort simply left them in the same state that they were in, and they grew stagnant. And I think in many ways we have to look at the book of Haggai, and we have to look at the Israelites, and we have to take it as a warning for us that we never allow for our comfort to impede the advancement of the work of God. And it really doesn't matter how long we've been comfortable. I think for the Israelites, right, we could say, man, after 14 years, they had settled into their comfort. They were comfortable, but their comfort didn't move the work of God forward. So let me pause right here and say this. It's not our comfort that moves the work of God forward. It's our obedience. And maybe you need to be reminded of that today. It's not our comfort that moves the work of God forward. It's our obedience. You know, when Sarah and I were living up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we were comfortable. We just lived minutes down the road from Sarah's parents. We lived minutes down the road from my parents. Our siblings, both Sarah's siblings and my sister, all lived in Tulsa at the time, and even Sarah's grandparents lived in that area. We were in a place of comfort, but I had a calling on my life to be a pastor, and so I knew that we were going to have to get out of that comfort. If we were going to see God move in our lives, if we were going to see God use us in only ways that he could plan to, we were going to have to get out of our comfort. We were going to have to get uncomfortable. In fact, we did get a little uncomfortable as we moved from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and as we moved to Fort Worth so that I could attend seminary. But can I just tell you, I'm so glad that we got uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie, that first year of transition was difficult for us. As we were away from our family for the first time, as we had to settle into new routines, as we had to make new friends, as we had to find a new church home, man, that first year of transition was difficult for us, but I'm so glad that that we were willing to get uncomfortable, because what we were able to see is that we were able to be a part of advancing the work of God, first with First Baptist Watauga for 11 years and now with First Baptist Stockdale for the last 2 years. And we wouldn't have been able to see that or experience that had we simply said, we want to stay comfortable. You see, it's not our comfort that moves the work of God forward, it's our obedience. And as the Israelites, as they got out of their comfort in the year 520 BC, we see that they began to rebuild the temple. And just as we've seen God speak through to the people through the prophet Haggai already, we're going to see God speak once again this morning through the prophet Haggai. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Haggai chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 20 through 23 today. That's going to close out this book for us, Haggai 2, 20 through 23. Now, as you're turning there, let me give you somewhat of a recap of what we saw as we began chapter 2. When we began chapter 2, after the temple, after they began to rebuild the temple, what we saw is that some of those in the older generation that had been around and they saw the glory of the first temple, they looked at the second temple being built and they thought, there's no way that this second temple is ever going to be as great as the first temple. They had some concerns. There's no way that this is going to be as good as it used to be. But what we saw God proclaim to the people back in verse 9 was that the final glory of the second temple would actually be greater than the first. But here's the reality. The second temple, it wasn't as big as the first temple. The second temple, it wasn't as ornate as the first temple. In many ways, one might just look at the second temple and just from its appearance might say, man, it isn't as good as the first temple. So how could the second temple be greater according to God? And the answer is Jesus. Now that may sound like this Sunday school answer for some of you, right? But the reality is what made the second temple greater than the first temple really was Jesus. You see, as we get to the New Testament, we see in the book of Luke that Jesus was dedicated by his parents to God in the second temple. This was a part of the Jewish custom. And then when Jesus became an adult, it was the second temple that Jesus went into, and he chased out the evildoers, the money changers, those that had turned the temple courts into a marketplace. So what made the second temple greater than the first was the Messiah, Jesus himself, walked in that second temple. So let me pause and give this reminder this morning. Jesus is what makes all things great. Jesus is what makes all things great, whether we're talking about the second temple that they were building, whether we're talking about the new youth and children's building that we're building, whether we're even talking about the first service or the second worship service that we're going to have. Jesus is what makes all things great. We can look at all of those things and we can say, we as humans are not what make this great. Jesus is the one who makes it great. I think I've shared this before, but I've heard it put this way from another pastor. We don't seek the house of the Lord, we seek the Lord of the house of the Lord. Or we don't seek the house of God, we seek the God of the house of God. And I think this is so important for us, because there's nothing that you and I personally are doing that make First Baptist Church Stockdale great. There are some great things that we're doing, but we are not the ones that make this church great. This building, even though with all of its history, I know the history of putting in these windows back in the 90s, and they're beautiful windows, but these windows and the beauty of this sanctuary is not what makes First Baptist Church Stockdale great. The Lord is the one who makes it great. And so we don't seek anything else but Him. We don't seek the house of the Lord, we seek the Lord of the house of the Lord. And in many ways, this is what God had been working to produce in their hearts as He called them to get out of their comfort to begin rebuilding the temple. It was to get them to seek Him once again. So with that in mind, let's read our final verses, Haggai chapter 2, 20 through 23. It says, the word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and destroy the power of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overturn chariots and their riders. Horses and their riders will fall, each by his brother's sword. On that day, this is the declaration of the Lord of armies. I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant. This is the Lord's declaration, and make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. So as we look at this passage and as we wrap up this series, there are a couple of truths that I want you to see in this passage. And then we're going to jump ahead just briefly at the end. We're going to look at the completion of the temple. So the first truth that I want you to see is that God chooses to shake for his kingdom purposes. God chooses to shake for his kingdom purposes. So we actually see this idea that God is going to shake at the beginning of chapter 2. He's going to shake the royal thrones. He's going to shake the heavens. He's going to shake the earth, the earthly kingdoms. We see all of this at the start of chapter 2. Then we see it again at the end of chapter 2. God is kind of sandwiching what he's saying in chapter 2 with this reminder. But what does this reminder mean? Well, God is giving them the reminder that what can be shaken is temporary, and what will remain is eternal. We actually see this again in the book of Hebrews. You know, there's going to come a day when all of the temporary and earthly things will be shaken away, and the only thing that will remain is his kingdom. And so really, this is a reminder for them that they were part of something greater than themselves. You see, they were working for something greater than simply the temporary. Yeah, they were building a temple, and it was a temple that would be used for years to come. But they weren't simply working to build a temple for their own kingdom. They were working to build a temple that was going to further God's kingdom. They were part of something greater than themselves. So let me pause and give this reminder this morning. When we partner with God's kingdom work, we get to be a part of something greater than ourselves. And this is something that I wish more people would grab hold of, because it means that we're talking about more than just passing out bulletins. It's more than just serving in a role. It's more than just serving in the sound booth or running the words on the screen. It's more than just being in the prayer room. All of these things are great. All of these things that we do as we serve together are great things, and they're necessary things. But we're not just doing them for the sake of doing them. We're not just doing them to go through the motions, and we're not doing it for ourselves. When we do these things, we are doing them for something bigger, something greater. We're doing these things because we understand that God has a bigger plan and a bigger picture than simply what we can see. And so we want to do whatever necessary so that we can see his plans and his purposes furthered. And as I think about this, it gets me so excited because I know that every single thing that we do, whether we're talking about something small like passing out a bulletin or something big like building a youth and children's building, every single thing that we do is something for greater, something greater than the temporary. When we partner with God's kingdom work, we get to be a part of something greater than ourselves. But here's what I see happen at times. As we are serving the Lord, in our service at times, we set up kingdoms for ourselves, and we allow these kingdoms to take priority over God's kingdom. So I'm aware of a church that was growing in its ministry to young adults. And because it was growing in its ministry to young adults, it really needed to create more space for these young adults. And there was a larger closet in this church that contained some stuff that could really easily be relocated. Not thrown away, but relocated. And so this was really the best solution. This room that was being used as a closet was the best solution for these young adults. But there was a person in the church that looked at that closet and said, "That's my closet." And so whether intentionally or unintentionally, they had allowed this closet to be a kingdom for themselves, and this little kingdom was preventing them to preventing them from seeing what God wanted to do for his kingdom. So let me pause right here and just give us this encouragement. Let's not allow our kingdoms to get in the way of God's kingdom. Let's not allow our kingdoms to get in the way of God's kingdom. Here's the reality. No matter what it is, whether royal thrones, whether powers in the government, or even these smaller kingdoms that we set up for ourselves, all of these things are going to be shaken away one day, and what will remain is God's kingdom. So let's not allow our kingdoms to get in the way of God's kingdom. So let me bring you back to what I said at the beginning. There is joy in advancing the work of God. This is what the Israelites were continuing to learn, that when they prioritize God's kingdom over their own kingdoms, they get to experience a greater joy. Because here's the truth, he has the greater kingdom. So the first truth that we see is that God chooses to shake for his kingdom purposes. Second, God chooses his servants for his kingdom purposes. Let's read verse 23 again. It says, on that day, this is the declaration of the Lord of armies. I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant. This is the Lord's declaration, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. God chooses his servants for his kingdom purposes. So why was Zerubbabel chosen? God chose to use Zerubbabel because Zerubbabel chose to walk in obedience to the Lord. Now, it's important to remember that Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah. He had been placed in a position of leadership to lead the people. And following Haggai coming to speak to the people, following him coming to speak to Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel could have said, you know what? We are comfortable. The people are comfortable. We've been comfortable for the last 16 years. In fact, 16 years ago, we tried rebuilding the temple and it didn't go as planned. We don't want to do that again. Zerubbabel could have chosen to refuse to walk in obedience. He could have chosen to refuse to lead the people in the direction that God was calling them to go. But what we see is that that's not what happened. When the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel chose to say, yes, Lord. And because he chose to say yes to the Lord chose to use him to be a part of what he was doing. So let me pause and give this encouragement. Let's get into the habit of saying yes, Lord. Let's get into the habit of saying yes, Lord. So several years ago, we had an intern in our church in Watauga who really liked my preaching style. And so one day he asked me, how is it that you have become such a good preacher? Now, understand, I'm under no delusion that I'm the best preacher in the world, right? I don't think that I have the best preaching style in the world. I'm just telling you what he said, right? He said, how is it that you've become such a good preacher? And I responded by saying, I have chosen to simply say yes, Lord, anytime he gives me the opportunity to preach. And because I have chosen to say yes, Lord, I have been able to grow in my preaching. You see, when we say yes, Lord, we get to grow in whatever area it is that the Lord desires for us to grow in. But listen, that growth can also be stunted when we choose to say no, Lord. When we choose to say we will not go in the direction that you desire to take us. And when we choose to say no, this is what happens. We miss out on what God is doing. So let me say it again. Let's get into the habit of saying yes, Lord. So Zerubbabel, he chose to say yes, and because of that, God chose Zerubbabel. And then as we jump ahead, we see that in the year 516 BC, the temple was completed. The Lord had done a work in the hearts of the people as they reprioritized their hearts, as they began to prioritize the Lord's work again, the Lord's kingdom again. God did a work in their hearts, but the temple was also completed. The temple sat there incomplete for 14 years, but after they chose to walk in obedience to the Lord again, it was completed in only 4 years' time. And once again, we see this joyful celebration as they completed that second temple. So let me say it again, there is joy in advancing the work of God. And I would invite you to join us as we continue to strive to advance the work of God here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Join us in this joy that we get to experience as we walk in obedience to the Lord. But if you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then understand the work that God wants to do in your life today is the work of salvation. This is why Jesus came into this world, to go to the cross, to die for your sins and for mine, so that we can say to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I choose to walk in obedience to you. I choose for you to be the Lord over my life." We have that choice. You have that choice today. As the Lord calls you to salvation out of your sins and into that right relationship with Him, you can either choose to say yes to the Lord or you can choose to say no. But here's the deal. If you choose to say yes to the Lord, you will get to experience a joy greater than any other joy that you can experience in this world. You get to experience the greatest joy because the work of salvation is the greatest work that we can be a part of. And so if you've never allowed Jesus to be the Lord of your life, then I want to give you the opportunity this morning to say yes to the Lord. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond. And if you're here today and you would say, "That's me. I've never said yes to the Lord. I've never allowed Him to save me, to forgive me, to give me that right relationship with Him." If that's you, then I would invite you this morning. I'm going to be standing right down front. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love for you to make that decision to say today to say, "Yes, Lord." Now, maybe you're here and you would say, "You know what? I am a believer, but if I'm honest, I've got kingdoms in my life that I've set up for myself. I've been prioritizing my own desires over the Lord's desires or over the Lord's work. And today I just need to get that right with Him. I need to say yes to the Lord in that way, to whatever it is that God is doing, that I might be a part of what He desires for me to be a part of." If that's you, listen, I'd love to pray with you, but you can also deal with the Lord right where you're at. God can deal with your heart right where you're at. Maybe you're here and you would say, "I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism to publicly profess my faith in Christ." Listen, we don't believe that baptism saves us, but we do believe that it is what God has called every believer to do, to publicly declare our faith in Christ through baptism. And so if you've never taken that step, but you desire to, then I would love to talk with you and make that commitment. Over the next 3 weeks, we've got 5 more baptisms scheduled. I'd love to get yours scheduled as well. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, "I've given my life to Christ. I've been baptized already by immersion. And I know that God's calling me to make this my church home." You've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, and you know that God is calling you to connect your life with this body of believers, to become a member of this body. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Listen, every week we see people respond here. And so if you respond this morning, it's not weird, it's not awkward, it is normal for you to respond. And so if God's calling you to respond this morning, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.